as we can. Can everybody hear me clearly? Yeah? Okay. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded except where the committee is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I'd remind members of the committee of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Okay, we have apologies from Councillor Gallagher, Michael Lipset, and Councillor Mulgrew. Any further apologies? Any declarations of interest? No? Okay, item number three is the action sheet from SPNR committee meeting held on Thursday the 14th of November 2019. I'll go through it first of all for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. All agreed it's accurate? Okay, any matters arising? Okay, can I have a proposer and seconder for the action sheet? Councillor Howe? Councillor Murray. Okay, item number 4 is the mid-year assessment of the Performance Improvement Plan 2019 to 2020, and I believe we need a proposer and seconder. Johnny's going to take this one. Johnny?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Very briefly, members. The purpose of this report is to provide you with an overview of our progress towards achieving the targets as set out in the Performance Improvement Plan for this particular year. Happy to confirm that the majority of the supporting actions and the measures of success in that plan are on track to be achieved. There are, however, a couple of areas that I would like just to raise your attention. In the first instance, the statutory standards for processing local and major planning applications and indeed enforcement cases has not been achieved, and we've also seen a decline in performance in those areas compared to quarter one of last year's plan. Secondly, with regards to the waste arising from our household recycling centres, we're currently, with our colleagues in Neighbourhood Services, establishing a baseline and schools trying to put targets in place that underpins and supports the policy that have gone through the Neighbourhood Services Committee, which aims to reduce the amount of residual waste, but equally increase the amount of recyclable waste going through those. And then thirdly, again with that department, we're yet to see any information as yet on what we consider as our refuse completion rate. So, for example, what it is in terms of completing the routes on a daily basis. And then finally, Chair, maybe at a more lower level, is we have seen a decline in the number of service users and calls made to the Good Morning, Good Neighbour scheme. I don't have the reason why, but that's maybe something we can pick up with the relevant department. Chair, the detail of the report is attached. I don't propose to go through it, but happy to take any comments or questions. Maybe ask members to approve the report, please.
Okay. Before we take any proposal and seconder, Councillor Burton.
Yeah, I'll propose it as well. Just a few comments, Johnny. I like going through these reports because there's a lot of good news stories in them as well. We always get berated about what we're not doing right in the council, but when you see 2.5 times increase in Downpatrick Leisure Centre, and I use the Neary Leisure Centre, it's excellent, you know, the facilities that we've got there. I suppose 74% approval rating is good in anybody's book. You're not going to get that anywhere else. Also, in the community cleanups, you know, having taken part in a few of the community cleanups, the council help to communities in that is excellent, and hopefully that continues. But see, when we're talking about, when I said this at the last time we had this report, about I would like to see a decrease in the black bin waste, even though the blue bin and the brown bin has increased. That obviously is just, we probably see the decrease in, you know, those recycling, where you get the glass and communal recycling centres. You know, you get the big, huge bins in the middle of squares and stuff like that there. So I suppose in the future, I think that them being removed is probably the first step. That's probably where all our wine and beer bottles is filling up our blue bins. But I would like to see this time next year that the black bin goes down. I am a bit wary of, I think it's in this report, we're talking about putting a level on the amount of general waste that will be acceptable in household recycling centres. I think we need to be a wee bit cautious on that, because with the black bin waste not decreasing, and if people do get turned away, if we put something that is too low, it's just going to encourage dumping. And that's the last thing we want, because I know when you do turn up with your black bin, they're a bit reluctant to take it, or black bin waste. So when we do put a level on that, I would like to see us to keep in mind the motion that was taken last year about trying to tackle our dumping. Another point on everybody active. I know it's a sad face here for the high social need areas. You know, the levels weren't as expected there, but I know the schemes that were running across and then, I think there was only two or three that had signed up to it. But after the scheme had finished, I think it was circuits for adults, people, the amount of people that were asking me about it, if it was run again, that would be really through the roof. So I don't know why, maybe the word didn't get out earlier, but I don't think that really reflects the effort that was put in the areas of high social need. And also just on the jobs created in rural areas, see the business, rural business investment through the Lag Board. I think at the end we started talking about not the small and micro businesses that were set up in rural areas, but the jobs that were created. And I know there's a couple of letters of offer that have went out over the last couple of weeks, so those numbers will increase. But I think it's also key that we need a new round of funding for that. Otherwise, council's going to have to, you know, step in and devise something that's going to replicate that scheme, because the rural areas really did get great benefit from the scheme, whether it's the business investment or the rural basic services. And also, the last point I'd like to make is on the planning. You know, but I suppose we all know the problems with the numbers in planning. And this time last year and the year before, we hoped to see improvements in those areas. I suppose we're aware of the issues, and later on in the meeting, as we see, we're being active to try and tackle those issues. So it's just this time next year I'd like to see that increase. But great to see these reports, because I think they're full of good news stories and things that we need to get out there in the public of all the good things that's happened in this council. So I'd propose to report.
Okay. Propose Councillor Byrne, Councillor Murray.
Yeah, happy to second the report. Just, Johnny, you had mentioned there about putting in place arrangements to monitor refuse collection and that there. I suppose that's, councillors, that's one of the big ones that we get hit with in that, and nobody ever contacts you to congratulate their bins being emptied out there, but it's whenever there's areas not there that there's a problem with it out there. So the like of that there, maybe even for next year out there, if there was arrangements in place to monitor collection out there, would make it a lot easier for everybody.
Right. Okay, opposed by Councillor Byrne, second Councillor Murray. Okay. We're on to item number 5. Johnny's going to take this one again. This is the improvement audit and assessment report 2019, and the proposal and second for 2019-2020. Johnny?
Yeah, sure. Again, very briefly, this is actually linked to the previous item. So what we do in terms of producing our performance improvement plan and then reporting against the performance against it forms part of our general duty. And on a yearly basis, I'm sure you're aware, Chair, the Northland Audit Office comes in and assesses whether we have actually complied with the Act. Happy to confirm that the local government auditor is proposing an unqualified audit and assessment opinion with no statutory recommendations being made this year. And the auditor has also certified that we have discharged our performance improvement and reporting duties. Chair, there's quite a lot of information attached to this report. Again, I don't propose to go through it. Suffice to say, there are one or two areas which have been recommended for improvement. I think moving forward, Chair, we need to be more specific in terms of the objectives we set. And then I suppose we need to become smarter in terms of how we actually manage and report against performance. But I think that reflects some of the comments that I heard in the previous item. Again, happy to take any comments or questions, but if we could ask members to approve the report, please.
Okay. Can I have a proposer and seconder? Proposed, Councillor Murray? Councillor Byrne, second. Okay, and just Johnny's looking to get away, so we'll go to item 9. Members are happy enough. It's the application for the Department of Communities Civic Innovation Fund. Johnny, you want to talk to us on that one?
I am, Chair. Yeah, thank you very much. Again, the purpose of this report, Chair, is to seek the approval of the committee to submit an expression of interest. And I have to add, it is not to the Department for Communities. It is to the Community Foundation NI Civic Innovation Programme. That doesn't affect the scope. It just, so the rush in terms of this being launched, it was picked up incorrectly. The Community Foundation for NI has launched a programme to support initiatives that will put people at the heart of local decision making and, I suppose, strengthens local democracy. talking to a number of our community planning partners, we have identified a potential opportunity to make a bid for funding to support the creation or establishment of potentially a citizens panel to allow, I suppose, to explore the big issues that came out of our residents stakeholder survey that we did last year, but also to pick up on, again, maybe individual consultation with those respective partners. We don't know what the detail looks like, because if we get accepted, part of the project is to support us in developing and defining that project. There's funding between £5,000 and £50,000 available, and at this point, Chair, I'm just seeking the approval of the committee to work with partners and actually make a submission to that fund. We will, if successful, bring back further information to the committee for members to consider.
Okay, I'll bring in Councillor McMurray first.
I'm happy to propose, Chair, and again, just sort of, I think, really, just sort of, Mr. McBride passed a remark about the detail, and I suppose this is the detail that I can't answer, but it's just curious in that, to making sure that whatever comes through, it is a sort of a randomly selected group of, I think it's important that people are selected rather than, you know, putting themselves forward, not in the sense that people that put themselves forward wouldn't be doing a good job, but again, the whole thing, the emphasis of this is almost akin to sort of civic jury duty, in the sense of that, I mean, for the greatest will in the world, if it was sort of just randomly put ourselves forward, we'd probably end up with a politically minded people like we have here and just replicate what we have here. But really, the purpose of these things is actually to have people that aren't free from political baggage, if you will. So I'm very happy to propose or whatever, because I think it's a great idea, and hopefully we can, it's something that has been proved at all levels of government, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be welcomed here. I'm happy to support, for sure.
Thank you. Councillor Murray?
Yeah, I'm happy to second it as well. Just listening to what Andy was saying there, like, I was thinking along the lines, it would be fantastic if it was reflective of the whole district, you know, if all DEAs are represented in some way, and I know we can't handpick out of DEAs, but I'm going to say it was going to be, if it could be pushed through the DEA coordinators even to raise awareness of the scheme out there, surely work. If we didn't have politically minded people, you know, if we just had a citizens forum, but there was a couple from every DEA out there, everyone would feel that they were a stakeholder in this council, you know.
Yeah, valid point. Okay, happy to proceed. And Johnny, thank you very much. Okay. Item number 6 is the statutory duty compliance, and Regina, I believe. Yeah, Regina's going to take this one. Thanks, Regina.
Mr. Chairman, members, in accordance with the discharge of our Section 75 duties, you're asked to consider, please, the Draft Equality Action Plan 2023, the Draft Disability Action Plan 2023, and to re-endorse the Equality and Diversity Local Government Framework. This Council is obliged under its Equality Scheme to develop an action plan, and these actions are set out under the 5 principles of the Equality and Diversity in Council's Local Government Framework. Council is also to have a plan showing how we propose to fulfil the disability duties in accordance with legislation. The framework assists Council to meet our equality and diversity obligations and demonstrate compliance with them. The plans, both plans, are detailed within the report, and again, that they're there for you to consider. Mr. Chairman, following consideration and approval by Council, both draft plans will proceed to a 12-week public consultation. So the recommendation is that members are asked to consider and agree the Draft Equality Action Plan 2023, the Draft Disability Action Plan 2023, and to re-endorse the Equality and Diversity in Local Councils Diversity Framework. Further to this, both draft action plans will proceed to public consultation.
Thank you, Regina. Can we have a proposer and seconder? Proposer, Councillor Sharvin. Second, Councillor Hanlon. Okay. Okay, item number 7 is the introduction of the Capital Schemes Project Board. I believe Tarina is going to discuss that one with you.
Thank you, Chair. In front of you tonight, members, is a paper recommending the introduction of Capital Schemes Projects Boards across Council. You'll see we've provided some background, and any members of the Legacy Down District Council will know that what we're proposing is akin to procedures that I think worked quite well in the old council. Obviously, were suggesting tonight that the format would work in the new council. So if I can take you to section 3.1 and the recommendations. The recommendations are the introduction of project boards made up of elected members to serve specific capital projects as determined by council via this committee. Each project board would be made up of 7 councillors and with all political parties represented and our 2 larger parties identified as well. That the capital projects attracting a project board would be determined by the scale, scope and complexity of the capital project. That the board would be established once a feasibility study has been completed and the preferred option agreed. The proposal is then that the said board would report through to this committee, and if a members wish to approve that, the current strategic projects working group would then be dissolved following the final meeting that's in the diary for January. You'll see, just by way of example, and in terms of capital projects that are in the pipeline at present, so to speak, the project boards that would be immediately established would be around the one servicing the Newry Civic Centre project, one for the Newry Arts Centre, and then in due course those larger projects that will follow. So I'm happy to take any comments or questions and seeking a proposer and seconder tonight, members.
Thanks, Sir Vernon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I suppose over 6 months ago or so, when I was sitting at an SPWG meeting, I was saying to officers, they didn't think the format of that group worked. It was something that we needed to look at, and we need to really overhaul it and think of something else that would actually serve rather than the strategic projects working group. I think this is the form that it should take. A few things that I have about it is the scale, scope and complexity of the capital project, how we're determining how something we have to set up a project board. I think we need to be really, really clear on that. And you can't just say, projects over a certain amount, just say 2-3 million or whatever, because you're going to have things like, say, the Camel Lake regeneration project, which was in, I think it was 2.1 million. And there's different types and styles of projects, that some that would need a project board and some that wouldn't. And I think I don't want to see going further down the line, issues to arise from why wasn't a project board set up for this and why was the one set up for that, and we're selecting which ones we want to set up for. So if we can be very, very clear with that, I think it's key going forward. I also think in 3.1, recommendation 4, that a record of such meetings to be presented to SPNO committee isn't clear enough. I think it needs to be like the appendix that was from the Down District Council. We have the minutes from the project board set up there. And I think we need to change that, not to say a record of such meetings, but the minutes slash actions of the meetings. I think we need to be clear about, general discussion in these meetings and what actions came out of it. And that needs to be reported to SPNO. So if we could just change record, if everybody in the chamber agrees with that, to minutes and actions. Because that appendix that is attached shows what it could be like. And we need to be as close to that as possible for transparency purposes. But I think this is definitely the vehicle to replace FPWG with, but I would just be keen to tidy up this how project boards are set up for projects, and I don't want it to be down just to simply monetary value.
Yeah, sorry, just before I bring Councillor Murray and Connor, can you maybe enlighten us on some of those aspects raised by Councillor Byrne? Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Chair. Just in respect to the scale, scope and complexity, I agree. We were conscious that it couldn't just be determined on scale, because the value, you could do a road for 20 million, but it's just a simple road, and it could be resurfacing a road, which is a very simple and not a complex project. However, you could get into something which is in a marine environment, which is a low value, it could be half a million, but it's very complex,
yeah.
And it has other constraints through the environment and through marine construction license, etc. So I think every project in its own right will be considered, and a proposal of whether a project board is established will probably be brought to SPNR for ratification in advance of establishment. With regards to the comment around the minutes, I think the template of how it would be delivered is shown through the old Down District Council example provided within the papers, and that's something that we would be encouraging you.
Does that meet your requirements, Councillor Boyle?
Yeah, I think we have.
Are members happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad just that Conor made a sort of the differentiation there between the different types of capital projects that will come in on that. And I think sort of with the establishment of this here, down the line, there could be a sort of a step-by-step approach or a, you know, like a graphic even done for groups to look at how they go about getting capital funding for projects out there and the different sort of streams there are towards that. But more than happy to say it.
Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, it seems like the old Down District Council did it the right way, as always. So it was, we may have had a good director then as well. So. But, no, my question is, obviously the items that are listed under 3.2, it doesn't include the Irish Street project that will be coming ahead. Is that because it's not solely council? These are just solely council-funded projects, I'm assuming, through the nodders of heads, that is the reason why. But we do have a steering working group that is addressing that because departments involved. So.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just in response to that, the Irish Street is a sort of developer-led type project which has multi-departmental input, so it probably would end up having some form of project board for the delivery of the development brief whenever it's established. So, it would fall into the category.
Okay. All right, so I think we have a proposer, and Pete, do we have a seconder? So Barry, you second Barry, sorry, okay. So we're happy enough then, obviously.
Okay.
Sorry, Councillor Murray.
All right, thank you, Chair. I think it's, I like the idea of it as such. It just, one thing that sort of did have sort of caught my eye was just what local connections or what connections is the board going to be made up of? I mean, point being, the Castle Mountain Finish Board, you know, it works quite well, because it's mostly made up of the crude DEA, and I'm not specifically saying that it should always have a connection, because I think in some ways it's actually good to have councillors maybe slightly step back from, you know, having been able to see the bigger picture within the corporate, if you will, but I'm just wondering if how will those things be taken on board whenever, I mean, obviously, but then it becomes very political then on how these things are established, because it will come down to body politic here, is how we put things in, which again, for a smaller party like myself, somewhat trepidation. I think it's also just echoing what Barra said, you know, I think it's good as well, because probably ultimately what will help, like, it will help the public maybe help inform us what concerns with this, you know, with projects as well, that, you know, they can then, as Barra says, how having a chart of funding streams, but also as well having a go-to body within the council with which to help us advocate on their behalf and lobby on their behalf, I think is important. But I think it's worthwhile for sure, but not without slight trepidation being from a smaller party.
Well, I think that the makeup from the political perspective will lie with the parties themselves, and I would think that most interest, particularly if you're looking at the Albert Basin project, we'd be looking very keenly from our own party to have the Newry councillors involved in it, because they've been there from its inception. But, you know, other schemes like Castlebaum, etc., we would be looking, I would suggest that the parties would look at that in their own merits, and I think that they would see the interest that there would be in having somebody local to have their input into it. Did you want to come back on that, Conor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are we happy to move on? Okay. Item number 8 is the safeguarding policy. Gary, I believe, is going to give us a presentation on that this evening. Gary, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Yeah, the existing safeguarding policy was implemented in December 2017, and as a result of the appointment of the new Chief Executive, it provided an opportunity for the safeguarding policy to be reviewed, which has been done. And the paper submitted today, together with the proposed policy, has a number of amendments. There are no significant changes within the proposal. The updates are purely cosmetic and aim to keep the policy up to date and reflective of current legislation and associated guidance and best practice. For ease of reference, the changes that are proposed were highlighted within the draft policy,
and they are listed at 2.2 and 2.3 of this paper. I don't propose to go through them. If anybody has any particular questions on any part of it, then I'm happy to take questions on that. And on that basis, I would propose that the version 2 of the policy be adopted.
Okay, your proposer and seconder. Councillor Sharvin, Councillor Howe. Okay, any comments? Yes, Councillor McGuinn.
Thank you, Chair. Just thank you very much for bringing this forward. I think as well it's really handy to have in these situations a such a clear flow diagram for people to refer to, because I know it just can be the best one in the world between actual trainings and, God forbid, an incident happening. It can, you maybe wouldn't be as clear of thought, so having it clear. If I work through this, if a worker volunteer has concerns and then it goes to the line duty manager, which then reports to the safeguarding officer, what would happen in the case of the worker volunteer having concerns about the line duty manager? Because that would be them reporting through them. Is there ability then to circumvent that in order for that to be...
Yes, there is.
Okay, simple answer.
Happy enough for that?
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So we have pros and cons. Thanks very much, Gary. We're on then now to item number 10, quite an important moment, I think, for us as a council, certainly for me as a councillor who's been a strong advocate for this project, along with my council colleague, Gary Stokes and Urie, and this is the 15-acre park, Albert Basin, appointment of consultants, where I think we're at the stage now. Paul's going to take us through in relation to what is, I believe, the start of the full-blown commitment by the council to take this project forward. So, Paul, can you take us through, please?
Thank you, Chair. Members, the report in front of you is to consider and approve the procurement and appointment of consultants to carry out key stakeholder engagement and public consultation to inform concept designs for a 15-acre park at the Albert Basin in Newry. Members will know and be aware of the task and finish working group that's been established for quite some time now in relation to progressing the park. And with key stakeholders have also now been identified within a key stakeholder forum, and the task and finish working group now believe that we're at a stage that formal stakeholder engagement and public consultation is now required to allow us to inform this concept designed for the park. And so members, I'm happy to take questions, but essentially the proposal is to approve the procurement and appointment of consultants to undertake this initial work.
Okay. Proposer and seconder.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brian.
Yeah, Chair, happy to propose. Of course, yeah, while acknowledging your own role, and Councillor Gary Stokes, I'm sure you'll acknowledge the contribution of other parties.
Yes.
Indeed, Councillor Liz Clemens, who I believe is the chair of one of those committees at the moment. But, yeah, happy to propose.
Yeah. Thank you. Councillor Tinley.
Yeah, I'm happy to second that, Chair. I suppose you've touched on it there. This proposal is now 2 years old, and there was a perception out there that it very much was a slow burner.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a very definite statement of intent from the corporate body that is the council, and is a very good news story for the people of Newry, and particularly those people who have advocated the strongest to try and drive this project on. So the next 2 years now will hopefully start to see stuff come out of the ground.
Yeah.
It's good news.
You happy to second it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, just on that point, I'm happy to acknowledge that we now have what used to be universal support for the project right across all the political parties, and I welcome that warmly. The challenge is now to get the consultation done, get the project moved forward and start delivering for something that's been warmly anticipated by our people for well over 10 years, and maybe over the coming years we can start to see the project come into fruition. Any more comments? Okay, Paul, thank you very much. Let's move on now to item number 11, which is the amendment to the scheme of delegation for officers. I believe Lindsay's going to take us through that. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you, Chair. So the report details amendments which were required to the scheme of delegation for officers
due to new EU regulations which apply from the 14th of December of this year. The amendments were required to ensure that the new powers available to officers were appropriately noted within the scheme. No decision is required from members this evening. The report is simply for your information so that you can note the amendments that have been made. The new scheme of delegation will be on the website from tomorrow morning.
Okay, any questions, any comments? A proposer and seconder? Oh, it's for noting, is it? Sorry. It's okay. Okay. All right, folks. The following items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during the item of business. I would need somebody to propose and secondly go into committee. Councillor Burgess. Councillor Hoyle. Okay. Item number record, please.
Okay, when in closed session, the following items were discussed. Item 12, Macrae Park. The verbal update provided regarding the D1 process in relation to Macrae Park was noted. Item 13, Planning Advisory Consultant. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Burgess, seconded by Councillor Byrne, that SPNR considers the above report and approves the appointment of a Planning Advisory Consultant for a period of 24 weeks. Item 14, Down Leisure Centre update. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, that members approve the revised capital budget for the scheme as detailed in the officer's report and proceed to Belfast Legal Services for the purposes outlined in the officer's report. Item 15, Cash Collection Service. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Tinley, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, to review options in this area following councillors' concerns as raised and report back to committee in January 2020. Item 16, the Albert Basin Action Sheet, dated the 26th of November 2019, was noted.
Okay, thank you very much, folks. All that remains for me to say is that I wish you all a very safe journey home. I'd like to thank Sarah and Linda for the serving of the committee throughout the year, and to all the officers and directors for their support over the last period of time running up to Christmas, and each and every one of you, to wish you a very happy, peaceful Christmas, and all the best for the new year. Safe home, folks. Thank you.